Hi, my name's John, and I'm an oldie, and I will be sharing testimony.
Alright, so how I'm going to do it is kind of like a timeline from birth to like now.
Ooh, my hands are shaking.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Queens, New York. I lived the first 12 years of my life in Elmhurst in a small apartment with my older brother, mom, dad, and grandparents, and I was born into a family that went to church regularly. And my mother was the godly figure of the house. She would prepare worship sessions for me and my brother. She'd pray for us before we went to school. The whole kid and caboodle. She did it all. I'm a mama's boy. It stuck with me even till now. I'm still a mama's boy. She's the only woman that I will ever cry in front of, but not comfortably. So for me, God was real. Heaven and hell were real. Satan was real. You know, I was like, all this stuff is true. No Buddhist can tell me anything, no Islam, whatever, no. It's all fake to me. So at the home church I attended, which is still my home church now, we started with humble beginnings. It was a five guys, one girl youth group, all the PAM was just the parents. And everyone was related to each other except my family. We were the only ones who were related to them directly. So I was the youngest of everyone. I was the youngest guy, even younger than the girl too. And so I kind of followed the guys around, so I was kind of riding their coattails of faith, everything they did, I did, except praise team during the time. They were all on praise team except me, so when they all went up to praise, I was going there. That's how it was for a small church. So going around middle school age, everyone was on praise team, I was just that guy kind of copying, like, hey, I want to be just like you. It was around also this time where I started to take my faith a little bit more seriously, kind of taking more responsibility. I already thought I was a Christian. I was like, I know everything. Like when I went to this summer camp, he said, do you accept Christ? I was like, I already did accept Christ when I was born. That's what I thought. And so up till high school, that's when I started reading the Bible on my own. Like my faith wasn't exactly riding on the coattails of the older guys, but it was. I was also encouraged by them, but I was also, reading my own, going to praise nights, retreats, all those New York City church events that all you New York City people probably know about. One of my first mission trips to Costa Rica after my freshman year. And at this time, my youth group grew a little bit more to people my age, as well as younger folk too. I wasn't the youngest guy anymore. Everything seemed fun, felt like I was being fed spiritually, but then things got harder. New people, I realized I'm not that good at loving people. I realized I'm extremely impatient. And then after the first wave of guys, older guys went off to college and came back, I was pretty surprised because the faith that I had followed them with, the faith that I saw them have, that I was encouraged by, kind of fizzed out. Guys who I called brothers, they were giving themselves the temptations of debauchery and whatnot. I was worried, I was confused, and I was questioning, so is it okay for a Christian to do that? Is it okay for me to do this and that? And this didn't end. I was the oldest guy, so there's other years. Next year, they went off. The next year, they went off. Same story. Same thing happened. Next thing you know, I'm a senior in high school. Still attending the same church because my parents go there, so I can't go to another church. And I've been youth group president for the last two terms. What the heck does youth group president even mean? It doesn't really mean anything much, right? So I was discouraged. I was angry. I was frustrated, depressed, alone. I was bitter. I was angry at God. I was wondering, was puberty like this for everyone else? I didn't know. I didn't know how to rebuke them. I didn't know how to properly speak to them because I was a self-righteous man. I was so filled with pride, sexual morality. My own sinfulness was, I saw it. And so with that, I couldn't speak to anyone. I couldn't tell them, hey guys, what you're doing is not the good portion. I didn't love them. It also didn't help that my youth group pastor was very Korean, and I don't know Korean. So her sermons were broken English with a mix of Korean. Very not good for me. So I actually listened to online sermons from a pastor named Jay Park, who leads the Grace Community Chapel Church in New Jersey. I tried to do this on a weekly basis. I knew him before from a pastor retreat that I went to, Joint Retreat. So around this time, I applied to Cornell. Early decision, agriculture. Why agriculture? Well, I wanted to live off the fruits of my own labor. I didn't want anyone else's help. Weird, I know. But hey, I got in. I wanted to live alone. I wanted to marry a godly Caucasian wife. Why Caucasian? Because what Korean woman wants to marry a farmer anyways in this time of year? If you do, God bless you. And I didn't want to be, I don't want to be with other people. I wanted to get my own church, build my own, build my own shed. We were going to have our service there. My kids, only going to be me, my wife, my kids, that's it. Because I thought everyone else was a phony. I thought all the Christians out there, they're all fake, they weren't real. So I got to Cornell, early decision, and I was very excited because I could start my bucolic rural life. So now that winter break, there was a church retreat that my youth group pastor tried to set up, and I had to go because I was the youth group president. I went to everything, everywhere, always. So before and during this retreat, I knew what was going to happen. I was telling myself, I know they're not going to be genuine. I know I'm going to see a whole bunch of stuff. And then afterwards, I'm going to see them going back to their regular styles. And so I kept my expectations low. And thing is, after the retreat, I was right. There was this skate ship that the guys and the people all kind of planted with themselves apart from the church. And I chose not to attend because I knew what was going to go down. And I was right. I knew what went down. During this time, I listened to one of Pastor Jay's sermons. It was titled, "Can Christians Get Depressed?" I thought, is the Pope Catholic? Yeah, of course they can. I mean, I thought that because I was going through it in the moment. But I was curious. Passage was 1 Kings 19. The story goes, Elijah is running away from Queen Jezebel. Queen Jezebel wants to kill him. Elijah asks God, just take me away. I lay me down. I'm done. But this is what God does. He encourages him. He speaks to him and says, hey, guess what? I've reserved 7,000 in Israel who have not yet bowed to Baal's name. So at the end of this sermon, I wasn't exactly happy. Kind of made me sad, actually, because I thought, well, where's my 7,000? I have no one. No more than a week later, I found out there was another person in my home church who didn't go to that ski trip. And his name was Sam. And even till now, Sam is a very well-loved brother by me. I try to love him, and I always see him when I go back home. So the thing is, I was curious as to why he didn't go. Soon after, I found out that he was one of the few that was actively struggling his sin as well as generally pursuing God. And I was very encouraged. I was very thankful. God showed me my 7,000. So from that point on till summer, senior year, it was actually amazing. Like, fighting sin was so much easier. It was weird. Loving people was easy. I thought I was awesome. I thought I was a great Christian. I was experiencing God daily, reading the Bible. It really was like honey on my lips. It was great. Then I went into college, and before I did, I made, well, for me, it was an unwise decision to get into a relationship. It was a very unwise call on my part, because I was a very young Christian. And you will learn next semester in your course seminar. So throughout the first semester, it didn't help at all with my faith. It consumed my time. We became each other's idols. It was very unhealthy for the both of us. And as my time was reallocated from pursuing God to feeding my own pleasures, reading the Bible was hard, praying was hard, praising, all that stuff was difficult. I felt as though God wasn't speaking to me, and sin was also so much harder to fight. I mean, it makes sense, though. I was pushing God away. I was creating veil over veil to block God out, feeding my pride, my sin. Looking back in hindsight, I can't help but just shake my head at myself. At the start of the second semester, I decided to break the relationship. And I felt free, but I didn't realize all the damage that was done to both me and her. I tried to go back to God, read the Bible, and pray, form meaningful relationships, join small groups. Joined a small group with Alex Lee, Stephen Yoon, Josh Jung. But things didn't seem right. I felt oddly clogged. Sophomore year came, and things got tougher. I mean, you know, because academically, things are going to get tougher each year. Sophomore year was harder than the before, and then my senior year was the hardest in terms of academics. But, yeah, my sophomore year, I saw so much of my sin. I saw that I was so needy, and that all of my need I was trying to get from other things, whether it's from inanimate things or whether it's from people. And I'm just going to broken cisterns. It's a very foolish thing to do, right? So I saw how perverse my pride was. It affected every piece of human interaction that I had. My patience for people was so thin. And there was a concerning lack of love for people, and also including a lack of love for God. I self-loathed in hopes to harden my heart so that I wouldn't be bothered by my oversensitivity. My heart was hardened and it was a product of my pride. My heart thought that I should be up here, but really I'm down there. I was so shocked at myself. And if you're shocked at yourself, that really just shows how self-righteous you were in the start, huh? I started doubting my faith. I fell into quite a rut for myself. I thought I was going to hell. I really thought that God didn't love me. And it devastated me. It devastated me so much that even Sunday services, I actually would skip praise. I would go straight to the sermon because my ears were itching to hear something. I just wanted to know, am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? Because if I'm going to hell, I just want to start singing right now. Live that life, right? I flat out denied God, and that's it. I thought I had it coming to me. Going to that summer was quite miserable. My youth group pastor could see what was going on, though. She saw something was wrong with me. Also, I'm a very transparent man, so it's not that hard to see if something's wrong with me. And she encouraged me with bits of her own testimony, with her aches and pains that she received, reassuring me even those were from God and they can shape a Christian and help us to love others who are struggling in similar phases. It was quite interesting. That summer, I also committed to serving at a youth group retreat, and yeah, it was good to see that my struggles were helpful for me in how to love them. So that summer was kind of a time of healing, repenting, recommitting, and reevaluating my faith. Now, junior year felt a little bit different. Things seemed a little bit easier. I came in, and I was actually excited to commit to God. Within the first few weeks, we had a communion back when it used to be KCCE. And I was actually so excited to take part in this communion. I was so excited to suffer with God and really see where He would take me. I remember I prayed as I took the little wafer and as I took the grape juice. I was praying, God, I pray that You would push me through even when my faith seems shaky. Little did I know how much God blessed that prayer. So there were a lot of encouraging moments my junior year, but again, it seemed like God was showing me a lot more of my sinfulness, making me more aware, which I'm very thankful of. That summer, I stayed in Ithaca, and that summer I felt spiritually tired, very lethargic. I felt like I was forcing so much doing and action during the year that I wasn't concentrating on resting in the presence of God and enjoying Him. I was being such a Martha. I still am, but I'm trying to struggle with that. So that summer, I felt a huge wave of apathy because all I did was work, or that's what it seemed like. I wasn't guarding my heart, I wasn't guarding my words, I wasn't guarding my actions. I hurt fellow brothers and sisters in that way. And whilst my apathy for my faith grew, bitterness grew, and so did more hard-heartedness. I didn't understand what was going on, and even when I met with Pastor Steve, he was stumped too. I didn't know how I was going to handle a new school semester. I was thinking I'm a senior, I'm going to lead missions ministry. I can't lead like this. I'm just a man. So before I went back before I started new semester, I actually got a ride home with Dan Stuff because it was a free ride home. So I decided to go. I tried to relax by myself, but my mom, she dragged me out and wanted me to keep her company because she likes to do that with me. She can see right through me. Also, like I said, again, I'm a very transparent man. So she saw something was not settled right with me. She asked what was going on, but I was being very defensive. I was dodging questions, but eventually, somehow, I was sharing my hurts and pains going back to high school about those times too. And I hate crying. I hate crying in front of other people and being emotional. But all this led to me weeping like a baby in front of my mom. Even I was confused. I saw her crying too. And I was just like, why are you crying? She consoled me. She was reminding me God loved me. There was a reason in all these hurts that we experienced and that God uses those for our good too. It was quite the encouragement. And So after that, I was kind of went into a period of kind of seeing more of my sin, or trying to repent and kind of revaluing myself. I still felt a little raw going back to Cornell that semester. And to describe the year, it was pretty similar to the other years in that I saw more depth of my sin. Again, I'm thankful about that. And I saw more of a sentimental nature to myself as well as to others. Again, I saw my neediness of how I go to so many things to fill me up when all these things are empty. And they don't speak back to me. They don't love me back. And my foolishness, I blame the object. And at the same time, I also get frustrated with God, thinking that these characteristics that these empty cisterns had, that God had, very foolish. So first semester, I was struggling with loving the church. The winter break, I was struggling with loving my family. Again, second semester, struggling with loving the church. And I always thought I was a patient guy. You know, I always thought that I was a pretty good guy. But then my years at Cornell showed me a lot of myself. And oftentimes, my first reflex is to respond through heavy loading instead of turning to God. So I was struggling with that a lot, struggling with turning to God instead of beating myself down. So I had to intentionally argue against myself with biblical truth, reminding myself that I'm just a man. And I shouldn't expect anything from myself. I'm a sinner, and I need God's help to love Him. And the same goes to loving people. That summer that followed was unexpectedly tumultuous. Right after graduation, when I got back home, my mom tells me that we should visit my grandma in the hospital. And I thought, yeah, sure, let's visit my grandma. Maybe it's just a bad cold. Maybe she got minor injuries or something. Didn't think it was anything big. But then my mom told me that my grandma had cancer, stage 4 ovarian cancer. I had no idea. She had it since January and was diagnosed then. So we went to the hospital and saw my grandma. I wasn't ready for anything that I saw. She was hooked up on IVs, and she was extremely frail and skinny. She's a pretty pudgy woman, but just seeing that, the cancer really did eat away at her body. I excused myself to the bathroom where I wept bitterly. Now, I told you I hate crying, and I'm pretty sure it boils down to pride. No, I am sure it does boil down to pride.
thinking that the ability to hide my emotions means I'm a strong person or something. Throughout the month of June, we would go visit my mother, my grandmother, me and my mom, and with my brother sometimes, and my dad sometimes too. And since I don't like being emotional, I try to mask my emotions. I would hold it in. At the same time, being in the hospital, I felt extremely restless. Again, my patience was so extremely thin, I couldn't love my family, I couldn't love my mom, I couldn't love my dying grandma. After another drive home from the hospital, I just had to apologize to my mom. I just started crying again next to her. I was apologizing for having such a rotten heart. She answered back with sympathy and surprised me. She was reminding me that we're all sinful. She said that she had a rotten heart also, that we're all in need of God, that God needs to help all of us. That summer, my grandmother passed away, and again, I didn't cry. I forced myself not to. I told myself, you don't deserve to cry. You couldn't even love her. I felt so detached from myself. I didn't want to be home with myself. I just wanted to go to Ithaca already. I was so sick of myself. I just wanted to leave. I was tired. It was this semester, though, that biblical truths really started to have a bigger grasp in my heart. I guess the death of my grandma was kind of like the last straw. It really just made me surrender the veil that I kept over my heart. These veils that I kept because I was afraid of being vulnerable, I was afraid of being hurt. Reflecting my mother's love for me was a way that I saw God's love. Even though I'm a rotten son, she chooses to love me. It made me think that this is her love, then how much more God's. Recently, from our previous Bible study, we also saw Jesus' love when he reinstates his disciples, when it would have been justifiable for him to cast them away. And the same goes for me. You know, I'm such a wretched man, I have a rotten heart, and I'm incapable of loving. I deserve help, that is a fact. The fact that I'm still alive and that God does bring me pockets of grace really is a testimony to his mercy. I'm not a good person, but God still reveals himself to me in these little times. So now here I am, still struggling with the same sins, but now I feel fear. Fear because I know I'm always going to fall short of my expectations. I will always fall short of God's glory. I feel free because I know I'm not the one sustaining my faith, though, that it's not up to me, and that even with all the efforts that I put in, it's all up to God. That even the valleys as well as the troll points in my life, that all these things are in his hands. So through all these years in Ithaca, I've been learning more and more of how sinful I am, seeing my depravity, my true self. I am a sinner. I am a spiritual adulterer. My God is gracious, though. He's merciful and he's kind. He has shown his love to me, and what more proper response for me to give but to worship and pursue him? So I thank God. I thank him for the sustaining work. And, so what now for me? I am still anxious and worrisome about what's going to happen in the future, but you know, the Word tells me not to. So I try to hold on to the Word and try to trust God. And that's my testimony.